I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome back to our studios some familiar faces. Rich Mattson is here with his band, the North Stars, which also happens to include Jermaine Gamberling, who you've been here on your own and with Rich before. And welcome, guys. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
And so, Rich, you've been in so many projects over the years. This one has some new people. Do you want to introduce the rest of the band here and
sure.
mention the one person who's missing?
Yeah, we've got my nephew Curtis Mattson on the drums, percussion today, and Eli Bissonnet on the violin. Russell Burgum is on his way up from Rochester, where he lives now. He's a doctor down there, and he's on his way.
And Russell used to be in the Glen Russells with you,
He
right?
was, mm-hmm. yeah. And in about 1987, 88, we played in a band together in high school called The Imports.
Oh, okay.
When we were, I don't know, that was back in the 80s.
So how'd you talk him into being in this band then?
He was living in Virginia, Minnesota.
Oh.
He was playing in the Mesaba Symphony Orchestra. And I was at his house, and he has this amazing collection of basses, and I just thought, well, you got to play these things, you know. And I said, Russ, we got a new project we're starting. You want to step in on bass? And he was all for it. And he's really ambitious, and he's been great. And since he moved to Rochester, we've been emailing back and forth. He's been sending his bass tracks via Dropbox and stuff. It's pretty neat.
Great. Well, you have a new CD, so this project's been together about a year, is that right?
A little over a year.
Okay. And you are debuting the CD tonight. Red Herring Lounge in Duluth is the Duluth CD release show for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts at 9 o'clock, and looks like you have a couple of openers, Matt Lateral at 9:30 and Small Town Anthem at 10:30.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's get started with the song, and then we'll come back and find out more about this particular band. What do you want to start with?
Sounds good. This one goes out to our hometown of Sparta, Minnesota. It's called This Town, otherwise known as Ghost Town. One, two, three, four.
Yeah, my baby. Tomorrow is not today.
Rich Mattson and the North Stars, and that is the song that kicks off their new album that is that they're debuting tonight. And that song has an interesting story, and I wasn't aware of this before I was, looking up info for this interview, that people are leaving your town because of these leases that happened with mining. Tell me more about this story. You guys live on the Iron Range mining area.
It's an Iron Range thing. You know, I grew up in West Devlin up by Leonidas, and Leonidas is a location. There used to be a school. I grew up across the street from this elementary school. They tore it down when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. Fascinating stuff. There's all these abandoned buildings out there, and there's a lot of locations where there used to be towns where, you know, the people had to evacuate, and they put a mine there. You know, they started digging for the iron ore, taconite, whatever. And Sparta is one of those locations now. The leases are up.
And these were 99-year leases. So
yeah.
Somebody gets a house, hey, 99 years.
It's an amazing place to be right now. Mm-hmm. It's people are tearing their houses down and moving on.
And were people just resigned? They just knew that this was going to happen?
I moved there 10 years ago, and I was told about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that I was not on the leased property, that I'd be okay. Unless, you know, they offered me $1 million or something, then maybe I'd think about leaving. I love it there.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be weird? I mean, how many people are vacating here?
Pretty much everybody, except for a few.
Yeah. When I moved there, there was only about 25 houses or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places had already been torn down and evacuated. The sad part is there's a lot of older folks that have to leave that didn't really, wanted to stay a few more years, you know.
Right. I think that it sounds like it would be hardest on people in that situation, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that song kind of inspired by that situation, kind of a very regional thing. Anybody?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So when I first saw, Rich has a new project out and Jermaine's in it, and I'm like, wait a minute, didn't they have Junk Boat? Didn't they have Jermaine's project? So I was wondering, well, why a new name? Why a new thing? But then I listened to it, and it definitely, this is a project that definitely has its own sound, and you brought some new people in, and we mentioned Russ already, but mm-hmm. Tell me about bringing Eli into the band.
Eli was living in Ely, Minnesota.
You have to say that very.
Yep.
Eli was in Ely.
Yep. And when we were working on Jermaine's album Generator, he came down and played violin on a few of the tracks when we were working on that. And we just love the way he plays. His style is magnificent. We'd seen him perform around Ely and with different groups. And he was up for joining the band and playing these acoustic shows with us, and the band kind of built around, and Curtis was as well, and we built the band around that.
And Curtis is your nephew. Now, you've played mm-hmm. with a brother before, so it's not your first family band here. Curtis was playing in other bands, or?
He plays with the Good Colonels.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah. We've just grown up. He's grown up around music, and I've always, I feel like we've always connected musically.
Mm-hmm. Curtis, you don't have a mic, but you can nod if you want. So was Rich your cool uncle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask for a better uncle.
Yeah. I always make him mix CDs and I'd go on the road and come home with boxes full of CDs from all the bands we played with. And I'd just pass them on, to Curtis and just check it out. If you like it, if you don't like it, throw it in the garbage, whatever, just here's some music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But so was I kind of correct in that, this band just definitely has its own personality, and that's why you guys decided to give it a different name?
It was also that Rich and I just continue to keep writing songs together, and though we have our acoustic duo, we kind of wanted to build off that, because so often it was just that we just kept doing this more and more music, and we just, how can we?
A lot of the time it's just the two of us performing around, and we just wanted to get more people involved with the acoustic sound that we were getting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the songs more kind of lent themselves to an acoustic band.
Mm-hmm. And so It's kind of a mixture of songs. You wrote some of them, Jermaine, and you wrote some of them, Rich.
And we wrote some together.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I thought this was interesting that you kind of pulled some things from your past, some of your past projects, Rich. And I'm smiling because they're like from like three different projects. Mm-hmm. You've done so many different things over the years. Why did you guys decide to do that? What was the decision behind that one?
Well, I guess part of the reason I wanted it to be called Rich Manson and the North Stars, I wanted to do some stuff from my catalog, you know, some of the older stuff, and you know, along with the new stuff. And I was really liking how some of the old stuff was sounding, and we were recording every rehearsal, and a couple of the songs, like "Songs of Chaos," was a Tisdale song, and it just, you know, I'd sit and mess with it in the studio and mixing it. I was like, you know, I really want to put this on our album, and you know, just because it sounds different, and I like the, I mean, we're kind of in charge of our own destinies, and I just wanted to get it out there.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, and you have such a big catalog of music to choose from. How do you, like, what is it about the ones that kind of stick with you that you want to keep revisiting? How are they different? Is that something you can even put into words, or?
Well, I think a lot of those, some of my favorite tunes that I from my older bands kind of slipped through the cracks, or maybe weren't represented as well as they could have been, maybe, and just there's a Glenn Russell's album, our last Glenn Russell's album. I still have about 650 copies of it, okay, out of 1,000. You know, they just want to get this music out there. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a couple nuggets in there that nobody's really heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they definitely do get a new spin with the, you know, with the fiddle sound that's added, that has added a lot, and just the different arrangements and stuff. Mm-hmm. That really kind of fleshes them out in a different way, I think.
Mm-hmm. I usually write on acoustic guitar, too.
Uh-huh. Well, let's hear another song. What do you guys want to do next?
Sure. This is another one from the album that otherwise probably won't ever get played on the radio because it has an expletive, but I'll delete the expletive on this, in this case. Anyway, it's called "They'll Never Find Us." I wrote a song about the rain. I wrote a poem about the pain. I wrote a song placing the blame, and I sang it to you. You said that sounded very nice. I said, "Well, Jesus Christ, so very nice to say. I can't admit I need you. Won't you read tweet? It can't be over. We're so dug in. They'll never find us. They'll never win. The more we try, the more we hold out. We keep songs about pain, and writing songs placing the blame, and singing them to you.
Rich Mattson and the North Stars, and another one from that new album. And that was They'll Never Find Us. Tell me about that one, Rich. Where did that one come from?
I guess it was that song was kind of inspired by Pink Floyd. the first two chords, anyway. And I kept going up with those minor chords. I'm like, this is nice. I guess the lyrics kind of speak for themselves. Don't want to get too far into it. Everyone can come up with their own kind of story behind that one. But it's kind of a sad song, I guess.
Well, minor key, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of about living in obscurity, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have your studio up there, Sparta Sound. And you record a lot of other people. What's different when you're recording your own project versus recording something for someone else?
Well, when I'm recording for someone else, I'm definitely it's a whole different mindset. I mean, when I'm recording another band, I feel like I'm in the band. So, like Big Wave Dave and the Ripples comes up, I'm in the band.
Suddenly, you become a soul guy.
I'll be the mysterious ninth member, And I love it. It's a great time, and it's great to get fired up with different bands and get into their mindset and their vibe, you know. And when I'm recording my own band, it's kind of tricky because I'm hitting the record button and running out and picking up the guitar. Say, all right, let's try this tune a few times, and it's tricky. I don't do it as much as I'd like to. I mean, recording my own band, but hopefully when we do it, we get something quality that I can work with and stay up till 4 a.m. putzing with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I'll just sit and I'll work on one song for 3-4 hours and hopefully come up with something that everyone can enjoy.
Well, I think you picked the right profession then. If you're still, it still pulls you in and absorbs you. Ben.
It's a blast. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the songs that you wrote for this one, Jermaine.
Well, Points North was on the B-side of our single that we put out before we put out the full length. And it was one that I had started working on and just about halfway, three quarters through it. Really was itching to have Rich help me finish it, and he threw in some really beautiful words to add to it and guitar parts, and it really fit in with the single with Ghost Town because it's kind of our ode to the Iron Range. Points North was the name of that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, Muslin Gauze, which is the second on the LP. One night, Rich and I, this past winter, we just were sitting in the living room and we're like, we need to write a new song. And we really were just feeding the fireplace. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. He had plucked this melody out and been kind of working on it for a little bit. But then we just started making up these lyrics, and all of a sudden, there it was, the story. And
I didn't have anywhere to go with the lyric. I just had this melody and a little chord progression.
And I had thrown out Muslin Gauze, which is actually a vintage material. It's like a very tissue thin, like Victorian fabric. And this whole story kind of developed out of it. And
And the song is kind of about a long kiss goodnight.
Yeah, it's
again. She's like, no, it's not.
It can be just whatever. Yeah, you think it is. Some of our songs are very mysterious to us.
That's
even.
What Rich thinks it is. You
think sounds good to me.
It's about a fabric.
And then, so when you put it all together, were there any that didn't quite end up on the album? They just didn't quite fit, or did you just have exactly what you wanted to?
We really wanted to put as many of our new songs together as a band that we had, and we really did put all of those on. Mm-hmm. And I think because we had some new ones, or excuse me, some older ones of Rich's, we wanted to, you know, give a breath of new life into it. Just kind of worked out perfectly with the number of songs.
Mm-hmm.
There were some more that we didn't use that I guess we just didn't get a good version of, and I had a lot to work with that I think we use the ones that sounded the most complete. Mm-hmm. As they went in. You know. Mm-hmm. Some of the songs we recorded completely live.
So a question about versus recording somebody else versus yourself. Are you, does it take you longer to, is it easier for you to be objective about somebody else's stuff? And then when you work on your own, do you putz with it a little bit more, or is it the same? You know what I mean? Like, when it's your own work, is it harder to be kind of objective about it?
Yeah, it took about, well, a whole year to finish this album, and it's just, and I really didn't play it for anybody. I wasn't sure what anybody was going to think of this stuff. So far, people have given it some pretty positive reviews, and appreciate that. It's hard to be objective, and you know, it goes through so many mixes. I probably burned 150 CDs of rough mixes and just, you know, listening when I have time. I mean, I don't sit and work on it every day. It's just whenever I get a break where I feel like listening to more music,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll go and work on a tune.
Mm-hmm. So you said, you know, you weren't sure what people are going to think about this. What's different about it to you from your other stuff?
Well, I've always been a rock guy. I started in the late 80s. I was playing around just solo acoustic when I first moved to Minneapolis. And then that evolved into this rock and roll thing. And the other stuff has always been, you know, electric guitars, loud drums. So, yeah, this is a lot more like how I write, you know, more acoustic.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some really nice arrangements on here, though, and lots of, you know, there's the fiddle is in there, and then the harmonies that you guys do. You know, I was reading that somebody was calling it a country album, and I was hearing a little more variety than that. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the stuff towards the end that you guys do the harmonies on sounds like kind of 70s rock a little to
we
me.
We were calling it cosmic folk rock.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
Sometimes you got to invent a genre,
mm-hmm.
and then you can own that genre.
Yeah,
Nobody likes to be pigeonholed, but you know, I don't really think it's a country band either. It's there's definitely that influence.
Well, and that's an influence that I think has run through everything, most of your projects, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I actually thought this was quite a little bit different. You know, really
Ole
interesting
Yeller
way.
Went to New York City one time and the reviewer called it country and Westerberg.
That's a good one. I like that.
Never.
I like that. Well, exciting that you finally got this out then, because it sounds like it's been a little while. So you must be excited to get out and play it for more people. I know you already did a show down in the Twin Cities, right? How did that go?
Great. We opened up for the Jayhawks last fall. And that was our first debut in the cities as this arrangement. So that was a really great show for us to be able to do that. And
we were just at Art of World, too.
Yep, Art of World. That was a good one.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. And you both have roots down there. And when you, you know, you used to be in a punk band, I think we talked about that before, Jermaine. So back in those days, could you ever have imagined yourselves doing what you're doing now? Living in the country.
No, not back
playing
then.
Playing acoustic guitars.
Yeah. It's crazy how life goes. Just never know.
But it sounds like this is exactly where you want to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have time for one more. What do you guys want to do?
Should we do Points North or Hither and Yon?
Whatever you want.
Hither and yon, okay. Hither and yon it is.
That's Rich Matson and the North Stars live from Studio A, and another one from their new album, self-titled album. And again, they're playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth, and music starts at 9:30, and then they take the stage a little bit later than that. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks again for having us.
Nice work on the album.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Mike Nowitzki and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.